All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. A lot to do today. It's a long dapim of Gemara. Beautiful, beautiful, big zechus. More words, more Torah. Okay, so we'll say today's daf is Kuf Tesvav, 115. We are picking up Kuf Yodalud, 114 at the Mishnah. So an interesting sugya. Hamakir Kelov Usvara Biadacher. We'll say, so imagine this scene. I recognize my utensils or my svarim in the hands of someone else. In other words, that someone else is holding on to my property. The Yotza Lo Shin Gneva Beer, and Rabbo say again, people knew that I had experienced the burglary, meaning say it was known that my home was burglarized. So what happened? Yishava lo belokeach, kama nasan, viyito. So Rabbo say, the lokeach, the purchaser, so this is actually interesting. So the Mishnah assumes that the person who has the items is not automatically assumed to be a thief. Meaning we assume that the person who's in possession of the items quite possibly bought it from the thief. So what happens? So the purchaser will call him, goes ahead and swears how much he paid for the property, the yitol, and I both say, ultimately me, the owner of the property, am chayiv to go ahead and pay him back for the amount that he spent, the yitol, and I can take my property. So we'll say, see here the incredible novelty. So I'm paying for my own property, right? So meaning, I'm walking in the street, I see Reuven holding my watch, wearing my watch. It's a beautiful watch. Funny, I just lost the same one. He said, I just bought it. There. So it turns out that that's my watch. So Reuven swears he paid $100 for it. I pay him $100 and I take back my property. Ve'imlav. But I will say, ultimately, again, if not means if there was no shmua, if there was no rumor in the city or no news circulating about a burglary in my home, lav kol heimena. So we'll say, I am not believed to say that that is my stolen property. Shani omer machra la'acher v'lo kon zeheimena. Because we'll say, I say in that kind of case where there was no talk about a robbery in my home, then it's just as probable that I sold it. I have seller's remorse. And ultimately, Reuven bought it from another individual. Fine, says the Gemara, V'chi yasal Hashem Gneva B'yer Mayhavi. So even if there was a rumor, not mostly when I say rumor, it's not really, if there was news circulating about a robbery in my home, and that news was circulating throughout the city, Mayhavi, I will say, why should that allow me to take the object back from the Lokeach? Leichosh Dilma Zabninhu, V'hu Niu Kamafik Shma. Maybe, I sold the watch, and I circulated the rumor in order to go ahead and be able to get my watch back. So we'll say, so because what's the case? The case where I had people staying in my home, and I started yelling in the middle of the night, my property has been stolen. In other words, that there are witnesses, there are Eden there, that I called out that my property was stolen. Says the Gemara, Kol Shekein Ilamatza. All the more so, it could be that I'm using my overnight company as a pretext to create a false rumor that I was robbed when in fact I wasn't. I will say, why would I make up a rumor that I was robbed when I wasn't? It becomes my alibi to get back my sold property. I have regret that I sold my watch. I can't get it back because I can't reverse the sale. But if I claim that it was stolen, then lamaisa again, that gives me a leg to stand on. So the Gemara says, Rav Kahana Misayim Bamishnei Derav, Kigon Shaitza Machteres Chatura Besoch Beso, Ubnei Adam Shalonu Besoch Beso Yatsu, Va'an Bur Karos Shalkelim Al Kisveim. So we'll say, what's the case? The case is where they found tunnels dug into my home, and the people who were staying in my house were seen leaving my house through the tunnels with bags filled with my stuff on their shoulders. So that's a pretty good, you know, that's a pretty good indication that I've been robbed. So it says the Rav, Kol Omrim Nignivu Kelev Shel Ploni. And everyone says that, Ploni's home was robbed. V'dilma Kelim Havu, Svarim Lo Havu. So I say, so maybe they only stole Kelim, they didn't steal Svarim, yet the Mishnah says Kelim and Svarim. Where the Shmur Abosa that went out said that both my Kalim and my Svarim were stolen. That maybe only small Svarim were stolen, and he's claiming large ones. Because we'll say it's where I identify the particular Svarim that were stolen. Maybe they were new ones and he's claiming old ones. Amrav kigon da amri halalu kelov shalploni kigon da amri halalu kelov shalploni halalu svaru shalploni. We'll say where the Shmuel went out that people are saying this is so-and-so's utensils, these are so-and-so's svarim. Yamarav haki did Rav really say this? The Suppose say, again, remember the general principle the Mishnah is dealing with over here, the principle espoused in the Mishnah, is that halacha lemaaseh, if I go and I see my property in the hands of another, and there's a shmua, there is a corresponding call, a corresponding rumor or news in the town saying that my house was robbed, I have the right to go ahead and, make the person who's holding my property swear that he purchased it, and once he tells me the purchase amount, I have the right to buy him out. I have the right to pay him what he purchased and get my property back. The Gemara is just pointing out that it's not just enough for me to make that claim, there has to be a corresponding call. There has to be the corresponding news in the city that in fact I was robbed. So let's listen to this. Rav says that if a thief, a ganav, comes secretly at night and takes my utensils, potter. We will say potter means, and this is amazing, he does not have to go ahead and pay me back. Why? My taima bedami kananu, because he acquired the kelim with his own blood. We will say, I look at Rashi just a moment, bedami kananu, the habab machteres bar misa hu kidechsev im machteres himatzi aganov. Also, listen to this. The halacha is that if somebody were to break into your house at night, if you were to kill that individual, you would not be chayiv. You would not be chayiv. Which means that anyone who breaks into a home at night in order to go out and steal property is taking his own life in his hands. So there's almost like a quasi kimle b'derabimine happening over here. And since he was willing to risk his life, ultimately again he acquires the property. An interesting halacha. We don't pask in this way, but this is what Rav's shita. So the Gemara said, if that's the case that he acquires it, then lemaisa when he sells it, the seller shouldn't have to return it back to the owner either. To make karmas hashlam mikta. That's only true in the case of the thief who comes in the middle of the night, because he acquired the kli through his willingness to give up his life. In these cases, ultimately, again, where the thief was not moser nefesh, so to speak. You see, by the way, the power of mesiras nefesh. Right? The power of mesiras nefesh is even for a ganav. Right? The ganav who's moser nefesh has a greater koach than a ganav who's not moser nefesh. To which the Gemara says, Amar Rava, lo shana ala balabai, so limkar kalev. So we'll say, furthermore, again, we're only saying this when it comes to a balabas who normally sells his utensils. Ava balabai shino also limkar kalev. Lo tzarech la duri alei kulehai. But I will say, ultimately, again, for a balabas who does not normally sell his utensils, see, he does not need all of these criteria. So in other words, that when do you need to go ahead and say, have the call that the utensils were stolen and all the identification of the utensils? That someone normally sells their stuff, and there's a concern that maybe there's seller's remorse. Therefore, I need this supporting information to back up his claim. But if a person doesn't normally sell his utensils, then lemais, again, he doesn't need all of this supporting information. V'dilma itztrich lezuzei v'zabin. But maybe in this case, he did sell it because he needed the money. So Amar Ravashi, hari yatzal shem geneva beer. So Ravashi says, no, because remember, there was a shem geneva. There was talk about a robbery in the city. Says the Gemara, itmar ganav u'machar v'achagach hokar aganav. So listen to this case. I will say, something was stolen from me. Object was stolen from me, and it was sold. And after it was sold, Hoker Haganov, the thief, was identified. So we'll say, now in this case, there are two parties. It turned out that Reuven stole it from me, but he sold it to Shimon. So now there's Reuven the thief, Shimon the buyer. So we'll say, so now the Shaila is what? The Shaila is, I want to get my utensil back. Who do I take it from? Who do I get it from? Ultimately, who's on the hook for payment? So says the Gemara, Rav. So Rav Mishmei Rabbi Chiya Amar Hadinim Arishon. So I say, Rav says, my claim is with the ganav. So what does that mean? Look at Rashi, top line in Rashi. Hadinim Arishon. Dino shabala bayis utviyasosh ala ganavhi ve'in lalkeach baldino v'imba ligvosa hemeno yitein damim. What this means is that my issue is with the ganav. So what that means is, if I want my kli back, I want my kli from Reuven, or I should say from Shimon, excuse me, so what do? I have to pay Shimon the money. Right? Shimon is an innocent bystander in all of this. I have to give Shimon the money, get my kli back, and then what do? I sue the ganav for the money I had to pay for my kli. So that's according to Rav. My claim is with the ganav. I can't seize the property from the buyer without paying him first. Rabbi Yochanan Mishpeh, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, had dinner mashen. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, not true. I have my dinner is with the sheni. I could seize that utensil back from the purchaser. I let the purchaser go ahead and take it up with the ganav. Rashi says, "Adine Masheni Dino Shabbal Abayis Melokeachu V'yotzei Hemenu B'Kreila B'Chinus." So we'll say fundamental machlok. It's a really fascinating case. So remember, again, my stolen property is found to have been bought, to have been purchased by another individual. According to Rav, I can't just seize that from the purchaser, and if I want to take it from the purchaser, I have to pay him what he paid for it, and then I could sue the ganav for the money. According to Rabbi Yochanan, no, I could absolutely just seize my property. I could seize it from the purchaser and let the purchaser take it up with the ganav. Rabbi Yosef lo pligi. They're not arguing. Kan lifnei yeyosh, kan lifnei yeyosh, hadin im hasheni. Kan la'achar yeyosh, hadin im harishon. To which the Gemara says, which Rabbi Yosef says, they're not arguing. It depends. But say if it's before yeyosh, if before, meaning if the owner has not yet despaired of recovering the item, hadin im hasheni. So ultimately, they're going to both say in that case, before yeyosh, he's permitted to take it right from the purchaser, because since he still owns it, that is his property that is sitting in the hands of the purchaser. So he's permitted to just take it back without repaying and let the purchaser go back and take it up with the ganav. But I will say, if you already had yeyosh, then what? Then technically the purchaser has already acquired the item. If the purchaser has acquired the item, so if I want it back from the purchaser, I could buy it from him and then sue the ganav ultimately for payment. To which the Gemara says, "V'tarvayu islu d'Rav Chista," and both of them hold of Rav Chista. What's Rav Chista? Rav Chista says, Rashi says, "Gazal v'lo nesyayshu abaylim," that Rav say, if an object was stolen from me and I, the owner, did not have yeush, uba acher va'achlo, and someone else went ahead and consumed the item, ratza mizegova, ratza mizegova, I have the ability to go ahead and get repayment from either of these individuals. Is that true that they do not argue? Ha matnos kuhuna kilifnei yeyosh tam. Yet they're both saying the case of matnos kuhuna, which we'll define in just a moment, is like the case of yeyosh upligi. And yet we see that Rav and Rabbi Yochanan do disagree. This not because we learned amar lo machar lo me'er shapara. As I say to the butcher, sell me the insides, sell me the intestines of the kish, because really the insides of that cow. Vahayu behind matanos, and Abbas, remember again, the halacha is that even when you shecht non-sacrificial animals, there is always an obligation to give certain portions of the animal to the kohen. I purchased the insides of the animal, and the butcher never separated out the matnos kuhuna, the kohanic gifts. So what's the halacha? Nosnan lekohen, ve'ino menachalo min adamim. So I have to separate out the kohanic gifts, and I cannot go ahead, Rabbi, and subtract anything from the purchase price from the butcher. From the butcher. So the Gemara says, however, lakach imenu b'mishkol. But if I purchase the insides of the animal based on weight, then nosnan lekohen u'menachalo min adamim. Then Rabbi, I give the separate out the kohanic portions, and I go ahead and I am permitted to deduct that amount ultimately from the purchase price. Vamarav, and Rav said, Lo shanu ela sheshak ol yatzmo. Rav said, when do we see this? Look at Rashi. Lo shanu lakach. Rav said, second wide line on Kuf Tes Vav Amad Aleph. Lo shanu lakach hemenu ben mishkan nosin lekoin. Nosin lekoin. Dimash adol keach akarchach nosin lekoin. Vo yitpa damim in amocher. So we'll say, when do we say that ultimately, again, I have to go ahead and give it to the coin? When is that? So the Gemara says, that's only when I weighed it out myself. But I will say, if the butcher weighed it, hadin im hatavach, ultimately again, the halacha is with the butcher. So we'll say, what ema af din im hatavach? Say, no, the law is even with the butcher. We'll say, take a look at Rashi in just a moment. Hadin im hatavach, dino shel kohen v'ir uro ala tavachu. What it means is that lamaisa, the claim of the kohen is not against me, but the claim of the kohen ultimately again is against the butcher. And Rashi says, rav l'tamei damar hadin im harishon, the tavach kiganav rishon v'lokeach avishli. So we'll say, what do you see from here? So this is a case where the tabach, the butcher, is like the ganav, and we see from here ultimately again that his claim is against the rishon. To which the Gemara says, no, ima afti nima talach. Rather, what it means is the coin even has a claim against the butcher. He certainly has a claim against me, the purchaser, because I am the one who is in possession of the meat right now, but he also has a claim against the butcher. Malitim, what would I have thought in matnos kunon exalos? I might have thought that kohanic gifts cannot be stolen at all. Kamash molon, yes, they can. Ula abayi damar pligi, b'may pligi. And about according to Abayi, he says that no, Rav and Rabbi Yochanan disagree. What do they disagree about? So the Gemara says, b'drav chista. they disagree ultimately again regarding the shita of Rav Chista. Rav Zvid Amar, Kigon Shenes Yaishu Abaylim Biyad Lokeach, Flores Yaishu Biyad Ganav. Oh, well, so Rav Zvid said the point of contention in Rav and Rav Yochanan is when the owners experienced Yeush, but the Yeush came about when the purchaser already purchased the item, but they did not have Yeush when the Ganav had stolen it. Again, this is what they argue about. One opinion holds that if Yeush comes first and Shinui Rishus, change of domain, happens afterwards, then you acquire the, then the Ganav acquires the object. But Shinui Rishus va'achakach Yeush lo kani. But both sides, there's a Shinui Rishus, like in this case over here. Ultimately, again, the Ganav sells it to the purchaser, right? Then only afterwards is there Yeush. That does not affect acquisition. Umarsav, the other opinion holds, no, loshna, it doesn't make any distinction about say whether Shinui Rishus or Yeush comes first. As long as both of them occur, the purchaser will acquire the object. Papa Amar, Biglima, Dukholi Amalo Pliyida Hadalamare. So let's say when it comes to, let's say if we're talking about a cloak, and let's say again the cloak was stolen and the cloak was sold, everyone will agree that what? That glima, that cloak is returned to its owner. Bahacha, Ba'asu bo takanas hashuk kamiflig. Rabbi said, what are they arguing about over here? Takanas hashuk. Rabbi said, now we are going to learn about something exceptionally important. Look at Rashi, takanas hashuk. Al shekano lokeach b'shuk b'farhesya. V'lo haven bo shenignav. Asu lo takana sheishalim lo balabayis mosher. Rabbi said, there's something called the takana of the marketplace. The takana of the marketplace is that if I buy goods in good faith, I buy an item in good faith. In other words, good faith means what, Rabbi said? I have no reason to assume it's stolen. You know, if you buy something and the seller is selling it dramatically below market, right? So there's like red flags that maybe there's something. That's one thing. I bought an item in total good faith. Total good faith. So what's the halacha? So then it turns out that the item itself is stolen. So what's the halacha? The halacha is that when the owner of the item comes to take it, the halacha is that he has to pay me for it. He has to pay me for it. They call this takana zashuk, the takana of the marketplace, because Rabbi say, if not, if you don't put this takana in place, you'll limit people's willingness to engage in transactions. Because essentially, again, if there's no buyer protection, then lemaisa, again, I'm going to be concerned, because is it possible that this is stolen? It's possible that anything is stolen. And if there's nothing to protect me, I'm going to be very reticent. I mean, obviously, people have to buy certain. I'm going to be reticent to go out and give my money. Therefore, to protect the buyer and to allow for essential, you know, free commerce, the halacha protects the buyer. That if you bought in good faith and it turns out that it was stolen, if the owner wants his object back, he has to pay you the money and he gets it back. He then takes his claim ultimately against the thief to reclaim the money that he spent. So Rabbi says, so therefore, the halach b'tachanas shkumafligi. Rab Mishmeid, Rab Chiya Amar, Hadinim Arishon. So Rab, in the name of Rab Chiya, said that the halach, the din is with the Rishon, meaning the owner's din, his claim is against the thief. So the Gemara says, Zina delokeach, the lishkol zuzim iganov. Ultimately, the lokeach, the purchaser, should really get his money back from the ganav. And they did not enact takanas hashuk over here. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yanai Amar, said, hadinim hasheni, that ultimately, again, the owner's claim is against the second individual, against the purchaser. Dina delokeach, and therefore, Bosi should be able to take it without any money. Dina delokeach, the lishkomi balabais. I will say ultimately again that the lokeach should be able to reclaim it from the balabas. Va'asubo takranas hashuk. And they enacted the takranas hashuk in this case. The sava rav lo asubo takranas hashuk. And I will say, does rav actually hold that they did not enact takranas hashuk over here? Va'harav huna tamide di rav haba. So let's listen to this. That rav huna was a talmud of rav. The chanan bisha. I will say, a guy named chanan bisha. So Hanan is his name. Bisha means bad guy. So that's what he was known. Hanan, the bad guy. Gun of Glima. Bosa, he stole a cloak. Vizabno, and he sold it to another party. Aslik made Rav Huna. So the owner of the cloak came before Rav Huna. Amar Lei Elahu Gavra. Zil Shari Avitach. Go ahead and take your object. Right? Zil Shari Avitach. Rashi says, Hatar Mashkonech Chalomar. What he told the owner was, go and buy back your property. So you want your cloak back? you have to go and buy it back from the purchaser. To which the Gemara says, what's happening over here? Shiny Hanan Bisha, Kevon Deleka Lishtalume Mine, Kilo Hooker Dummy. We'll say the difference over here with Hanan Bisha is that since it would be impossible to get repayments from him, because apparently he was a very powerful individual, so this is the equivalent of a case, ultimately, again, where we did not know who the thief was. And it will say, everyone will agree that what? In a case where you don't know who the thief was, the owner of the object will have to pay the purchaser the amount that he paid for the object in order to go ahead and get his object back. Amar Rava, so what Rava said, Im gana maforsamu lo asaba takana sashak. Rava said, this is very interesting. If you bought an object from a ganav maforsam, from a known ganav, there is no buyer protection in that case. So I go ahead and I buy it from Joe the Ganov. That's the name of his store, right? Joe the Ganov. So again, I'm going to say, in a case like that, there's no buyer protection because I should have known that I'm buying stolen property. And therefore, again, if the owner shows up, the owner is not obligated to pay me for what I paid for the object. He can just take back his object. I have, what about the case of Hanan Bisha? That's a case of a known ganav. Yet, va'asu bo takana sashok. And Rabbi say, they enacted takana sashok in that case. Nehidim aforsim lebishusa legenevusa lo meforsim. So we'll say, Hanan Bisha was a bad guy in many ways, but he was not known to be a thief. See, he did many other bad things, but he was not necessarily known to be a thief. Itmar ganavu para b'chovo, ganavu para b'akifo. But listen to this case. I went ahead and I stole an object, and I used the stolen object to pay off my debt, or I used the stolen object to pay off my credit, meaning I bought something on credit, and so I paid it off. So what's talocha? Lo asu bo takana sashuk. So both say, now watch this case. I borrowed $1,000 from Reuven, and I went ahead and I stole a Rolex. I go ahead and I take the Rolex and I pay back Reuven. Now the owner of the Rolex comes along to Reuven, wants to take back his watch. The halacha of the Gemara saying over here is that takana sashuk, buyer protection doesn't apply to Reuven in that case. Why not? The Amri, lav adaita dahano yohavis lemidi. Because Rabbi said, we say to Reuven, you didn't lend Silber that money on the das of that watch. In other words, you lent him that money not knowing that the watch was going to come or not. Therefore, again, Rabbi said, you can't claim buyer protection in that kind of case. Mashkanta shavi mason b'me'a. Also, about takana sashuk. So we'll say ultimately again, if a person gave another a stolen mashkon worth 200, and as a result he lent him 100, and we'll say that is the case ultimately where we would claim takana sashuk. Why? Because essentially what the Gemara is saying is like this: it's only in a case where an exchange of funds was made because the person thought that he was actually acquiring title to the object that takana sashuk is made. But if a stolen property was used for repayment for something, and then it turns out that the object was stolen, so the person who was repaid can't claim takana sashuk under those circumstances. Shava b'shava. If both say if equal items were exchanged, then lemaisa again. Look at Rashi. Mashkanta shava b'shava. Ain derech la'asos kein lahavos ala mashkon kol shavyav. So both say if let's say again I lent someone or someone lent me money and I gave them a mashkon of the same value, we don't apply takana sashuk in that particular situation. Okay, I'm sorry, I just lost the place. Fine. Shalom Rav Sheshis, Amar Lo Asavat Takanas Hashok. Rav Amar Asavat Takanas Hashok. So we'll say it's Machlokes, it's whether or not they made Takanas Hashok in that case. Ve'ochasa, and I will say, what is that? What is the halacha? Bekulu Asavat Takanas Hashok. Rav will say, Chazal apply Takanas Hashok, buyer protection. In all cases, Lebar Meganav Upara Bechovo, Ganav Upara Bekeva. So we'll say, Takanas Hashok, buyer protection applies in all cases with one exception. The only exception is where I stole property and I used it to pay off a debt, or I used it to pay off credit. So we'll say, why does buyer protection not apply in that case? Because Lamaisa, since the loan was not made with any kind of reliance on the stolen object, therefore you can't claim buyer protection in that situation. So we'll say, just this, because I want you to walk away with something from this halacha, this indeed is halacha Lamaisa. This actually is a very important halacha. So the Shulchan Aruch in Choshen Mishpat Simen Shin Nun Vav Sif Ches writes the following: Halokeach miganav she'ino meforsam. But say, if I purchase property from a ganav who is not well known, Oh, he's only in the minor leagues of Gandalfs, right? He hasn't made it yet. So I'll say the point over here is, I remember, this goes back, if you buy property from a known Ganov, there's no recourse. Meaning there's no recourse for you to reclaim the money you spent. You should have known better. But assuming that I bought from a Ganov who I did not know was a Ganov, and the truth is, I really had no way of knowing that he was a Ganov. I purchase an item. The owner of the item says, that's my item. It was stolen from me. I say, I'm so sorry. The owner does not have the right simply to take it back, but rather, again, the owner has to go ahead and pay me the amount that I paid for the object, and then the owner then goes ahead and takes the claim up with the ganav. This is what we call takonas hashok, says the Gemara. Avimi Bar Nazi, Chamod Ravin Hava. So supposed to listen to this. So Avimi Bar Nazi was the father-in-law of Ravina. Hava Masik Bahu Gavra Arba Zuzi. So he lent a particular man 4 Zuzim. Ganav Glima Asi and Nehile. So what happened? So the borrower stole a cloak. The borrower stole a cloak. And he went ahead and he brought it back to the creditor. And as a result, the creditor went ahead and Osve Arba Zuzi Achrini. He lent him another 4 Zuz. Lesof Hoker Agana. So at the end of the day, it was discovered that the cloak was stolen. Asla Kamid Ravina. So they came before Ravina. So now the Shaila was the following. Amr Kamai Ganav. Upara bechova v'lo boi lemeisale. So we'll say, so for the first four zuz, that's the equivalent of that he was paying back the first 4 zuz, ultimately with what? With stolen property. And remember again, we just established before that what? That for payment of a debt, the creditor is not covered under the takanas hashok. Right? You're not covered under takanas hashok. However, again, v'lo boi lemeisale v'lo midi. And therefore, again, the owner of the cloak is not obligated to reimburse the creditor for the first 4 zuz. However, hanach Arba Zuzi Achrini, Shakol Zuzach Fahadr Glimi. But for the second 4 Zuz, remember, the second 4 Zuz were lent based on what? Those were lent based on the cloak. Anytime someone takes action based on the property, ultimately they are covered by Takanas Hashok. So see here this interesting case? So remember again, so the lender lends 4 Zuz, borrower goes and steals a cloak, brings it back to the lender, the cloak is worth more than 4 zuz. So since he's some part of the cloak, ultimately is supposed to be repayments for the first part of the debt, and then the rest of the value of the cloak was the security to borrow more money based on that. So now the Gemara says for the first four zuz, the creditor is not covered by Takanas Hashok, because Lamai said that money was not lent based on the cloak, because the cloak was not yet in existence. But for the second 4 zuz, he absolutely is covered by Takanas Hashok, because Lamaise, again, that money was only lent based on the reliance on the cloak. Maskev Rav Cohen, so we'll say Rav Cohen raised the following kasha, Vidilma Glima Bahani Zuzi Kama Yohavne Nehile, but ultimately, again, let's assume, why can't we assume, that the cloak was given as a result of those first 4 Zuzim. That is true, but that being the case, that becomes a case of Ganavu Para Bechovo, Ganavu Para Bekevo. Both say that it's still paying back a debt with stolen property, which is not covered by Takanas Hashok. V'arba Zuzi Basrai Hamune Hemene Kihechid Hemne Meikara. So both say, so therefore again, but I should say that the second 4 Zuz that were given, so Hemune Hemne, ultimately again, they're given based on the fact that there was a security of the first 4 zuz put there. So the matter escalated and it came before of Rabbi Avuah. So Rabbi Avuah, this case came before Rabbi Avuah. Amar, Rabbi Avuah said, Hilchasa Kirav Kohen. Rabbi Avuah said, the halacha is like Rav Kohen. So Rabbi Avuah said, so that is also halacha l'maisa. Listen to this. Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Hayanoshe Beganav Me'azuz. So Veganav Vehevi Lebalchov, Venasal Me'a Achirim, Hariak Neva Chazeris Lebalel, Veomrim Lech Vitava. So bottom line, without getting into the technicalities of this case, if lender lends the borrower $100, and then ultimately again borrower steals a piece of property for that's worth $200, let's say. He goes there, he gives him the property, so and then lender lends the borrower another $100. Once he received the object. So, that's an interesting halacha. So, now what happens? It turns out that it's stolen. Owner shows up, we'll call it a cloak, wants his item back. So, lender says, no problem. but it's going to cost you $200. So what's the halacha? Rabbi will say, for the first 100, the lender cannot claim against the owner of the item. Why? Because Lamaisa, again, remember, he did not lend that first $100 based on the item. Why? Why? Because the item was not yet in existence as far as the lender was concerned at the time of the original loan. However, the second $100 was absolutely lent based on the item. Therefore, in that case over here, the lender will be able to recapture under Takanas HaShuk the second 100, but not the first 100. That's the halacha of Rav Cohen. Fine. Next, the Gemara says, Narsha, gone of Sifra, Zabne, La Papuna. So we'll say there was a Narshon. These are national identities or tribal, national identities. And Narsha, so a guy from Narsha, and Narshon stole a book. Zavne la papunoin. He sold it to a papunoin. Betinin zuzi. And let's say he sold it to the papunoin for 80 zoz. Azul papunoin. Zavne la barmachuza. Bemea ve'esrim zuzi. So we'll see what happened. The papunoin went ahead and sold it to a guy from Machuza for 120 zoz. So the sof, hokara ganav, Rabose. Then after a certain amount of time, the ganav was recognized, meaning they saw it was stolen property. Amra baye. Lazel mari de safra. So we'll say now the owner of the book wants to go and retrieve his book from the guy from Mechuza, who had bought the book for 120 zuz, from the Papo Noe, who had bought it from the Narshom for 80 zuz. It's like Chagaja. Right, so what happens? So Amar Abai, so what do we do over here? Amar Abai, Lezel Mari, the Safra of the Yovle, the Bar Mechuza, Tamnin Zuzi. So we'll say, the owner of the book should go to the guy from Mechuza and pay him 80 zuz. 80 zuz, v'shakel safrei, and he should go ahead and take his sefer, v'azel bar mechuza, v'shakel arbon mi papunoi, and let the bar mechuza go back and reclaim the remaining 40 from the guy from papunoi. Maskev la rava, so rava said, 1 second, hashta lokeach mi ganav, asubo takanas hashuk, lokeach mi boy. But say, I don't understand. If you make a takanas hashuk for the guy who purchased from the ganav himself, then all the more so what? Takanas hashuk should apply to someone who purchased from a legitimate purchaser. Now, there's a bosa. In this case, the Bar Mechuza really didn't do anything wrong. Because who is the Bar Mechuza buying it from? He's buying it from the Papunoi, and it was the Papunoi who bought it from the thief who was the Narsha. So the Mechuza is 2 steps removed from the Geneva. So if you can tell me that Takanas HaShuk applies to the person who mamish purchased it from the Ganav, then what? All the more so the individual purchased it from a legitimate buyer should be covered as well. If that's the case, then Lemaisa, the owner of the book, should have to pay the guy from Mechuza what? 120 zuz. Let him pay the full amount. Why only the 80? To which the Gemara says, now, in reality, you're right. Because of Takanas HaShuk, the owner of the sefer needs to pay the Bar Mechuza 120 zuz. The shakel safra, then he can take a sefer. The lezel mori de safra, the lishkol arbon mi papunoi, the timnin min arsha. Then Rabbi will say, what ends up happening? Then the owner of the book collects repayment for his sefer in 2 stages. He goes back and he collects, ultimately again, 80 from the Papunoa, and he goes ahead and 40 from the Papunoa, and he takes the 80 ultimately again from the Narsha. So we'll say, Inachinami, in this case over here, the last purchaser will be covered by Takanas HaShuk. The owner of the object pays him the 120, and the owner has to go back and reclaim 40 and 80 from 80 from the thief, and ultimately 40 from the first purchaser. Master Mishnah. Zeba bechaviso sheyayin, vzeba bekado shel dvash. So we actually alluded to this case a little bit at the end of yesterday's daf. So we'll say, I come with my barrel of wine, and Reuven's coming with his barrel of honey. Nistika chaviso shel dvash. So we'll say, what happens? So the assumption by the Mishnah over here is that honey, actually, well, we'll see. Fine, let's just go. No Rashi yet over here. So what happens? So Reuven's barrel of honey breaks. So what do? V'shafach ze'es yeino v'hetzelas hadvash. I pour out my wine in order to save Reuven's honey. So we'll say, so let's make the assumption over here that honey is more valuable than wine. So what's talach? V'hetzelas hadvash l'socho, amadeis, ein lo ela schoro. So we'll say the halacha is, I cannot claim the value of my lost wine from Reuven. The only thing I could claim against Reuven Rabosei is the value of my time. In other words, I worked, I did labor, so to speak, right? I collected all of his honey, so I could claim payment ultimately again for my time that was worked and for usage of my utensil, but I cannot claim against him for the value of my wine. Vim Amar, Atzila Shachav Atanosili Dnei Bat, Dnei Shavi. But if I say to him, listen, I'll save your money. If what? If you pay me back the value of my wine, then chayev litino, then enochinami under those circumstances. So ultimately, again, Reuven will be chayev to give back the value of my wine. Shataf nachal chamoro v'chamor shachavero. We'll say, I'm walking with Reuven, and the river sweeps away my donkey and Reuven's donkey. Shalo yofem mana v'shachavero masayim. My donkey is only worth a mana, and Reuven's is worth much more. V'aniach ze'e shalo v'hitzel eschavero. So I let my donkey drown, and I go ahead and I save Reuven's. Eino eleskaro. So we'll say, I can't claim from Reuven the value of my lost donkey. The only thing I can claim from is the value for the work I performed for him. But if I say to Reuven, listen, Reuven, I will save your donkey as long as you promise to pay me back for the value of mine, then what? Chayev litelo. Then indeed Reuven is chayev to go ahead and give me back the value of my donkey. Va'amai. But why is this? Leima leimef keira kazachina. But say, listen to this. So the Gemara asks a very interesting question. Now the interesting question over here is, why is it in a case, let's say, where Reuven's barrel breaks and his honey is pouring out, and I pour out my wine and collect his honey? The Gemara posits over here, I should actually be able to take the honey for myself. Why? Because lemaisa, again, the honey becomes hefker. But say, why is the honey hefker? Rashi says, v'leima mehefkera zavina dvash shalcha hayaholich kula li'ibud. Well, at the end of the day, your honey is pouring all over the Rosh Hashanah. So the mice again, Harini Kimatzel Min HaHefker. Well, at that point in time, it effectively becomes Hefker. So when I save it, in reality, I acquire it. Well, did we not learn? So listen to this. If I was carrying barrels of wine or barrels of oil, then and I saw that the barrels are breaking, Lo yomar hari ze truma umaisa apeir shishli b'sof b'si ve'im amar lo amar klum. I was like, listen to this chav. I say, I see my barrels are breaking. I say, okay, they're truma. I will say, so again, remember the great chav of that is that if they're lost, I don't have to bear the loss. You're not allowed to do that. And if you did so, ve'im amar lo amar klum. And I will say, ultimately, again, if you did so, you did not say anything. And I will say, now, what does that show you? Now, I understand why you shouldn't do it, but it doesn't just say you shouldn't do it. What does it say? It says you can't do it. Why? Because of both sides, once that barrel is breaking, that wine is spilling out, it's hefker. It's essentially ownerless. So that's why, again, not only shouldn't I do it, I can't do it because I no longer own that wine. So therefore, again, plugging that into the Mishnah, if Reuven's barrel breaks and his honey's pouring out all over the place, I should be able to acquire that honey myself because it's effectively hefker. Oh, so which Rabbi Yirmiyah said, what's the case of Osai? Where there's netting over the barrel. So Osai, that netting effectively prevents the contents from spilling out all over the place, meaning the barrel is breaking and it's pouring out at a slower rate so that I could still salvage the contents. So Osai, when that netting is on top of the barrel, that prevents the contents from spilling out quickly. Therefore, again, it's still retrievable. Because it's retrievable, therefore, it's not hefker. Vim amar lo amar klum. So we'll say, is that true? Let's go back for just a moment. Now, you told me, if my barrels are breaking in Rosh Hashanah, and I call out their truma, that what I said is an ineffective designation. Is that true? V'hatanyo, mi shebaba derech umos, v'yadav ha'anos k'negd. But listen to this case. I'm walking on the road, and I have money in my pocket, and I see a robber coming across from me. So I'll say, swastalach, I'm about to get robbed. So what happens? Lo yomar, hare peros sheyeshli b'sof besi, michulalim al ma'os halalos. So listen to this chaf. So I can't say, you know what? I've got $100 in my pocket. Let the fruit that's in my home, that I was going to separate out trumas and maestros on, let that sanctity be deconsecrated and let the sanctity devolve upon these coins. As we'll say, what I want to do is I want to redeem the sanctity of my produce with the coins in my pocket. Now, what's my cheshbon? My cheshbon is I'm about to be robbed. So at least if I'm going to be robbed, let it be the coin who endures the loss and not me. So what's the halacha? So Rabbi say you should not say this. You shouldn't do this. V'im amar dvar kayamin. Oh, Rabbi say if you did it, what? It works. So you see from here that it does work. Hachama askinu, what's the case over here? V'shiyach alahatz. Rabbi say the case over here is where I think I'm about to be mugged, but it's also possible that I'll be able to get myself out of this circumstance. So therefore, Rabbi say because it's not a definitive loss, therefore, the ma'isa and I am permitted to make this designation. But if it's the case where I'm able to save myself, so then why lechatchila can't I designate this money as my kodesh money? To which the Gemara says, because I'll say the case over here is where I could save myself, but it's not so poshut. Meaning, I don't know. I know that there can be a favorable outcome over here, but I'm not exactly sure how this is going to play out. To which the Gemara says, now, is that true that in every case where there is going to be a potential hefsid, that you should not make these type of cheshbonos, where you go ahead and you designate items as consecrated property? Vatayna, we'll say, we learned, so we'll say, if a person had 10 barrels of tevel that was tamei, v'ra achas, remember, tevel's untied produce, v'ra achas, men shenish prosh neskala, and I saw one of them broke, or we'll say was uncovered. So we'll remember again, the issue of uncovered is the issue of megulin, of mashkin megulin. Remember again, uncovered, so liquids that are left uncovered overnight, ultimately again cannot be used because of gzira mashkin megulin, because of right, the fear that a snake may come and insert it, inject its venom into it. So what's the halacha? Omer harehi chuma, girehi chumas meiser, al tei shechavosel. So we'll say, you could go ahead and designate this one barrel as chumas meiser on the nine others. Ubishemen lo yaasekem ibnei hefset coin. But we'll say, you shouldn't do this by oil because of the loss that it'll cause the coin. So we'll say, we'll discuss what that means in just a little bit. I remember Yirmiyah. So we'll say, so you see that you can do it. To which Rabbi Yirmiyah says, no, what's the case? Even though the barrels are broken, kishaakal beis habat karachala. Because we'll say, ultimately, the case over here is where the netting of the press, literally of the olive press, the wine press, is on top of it. So because the netting is on top of it, therefore what? The loss is not definite because the contents won't spill out all at once. They'll only trickle out slowly but surely. Bishlam shnishpara. So we'll say bishlam shnishpara. You know what we'll say? We're going to stop over here for just a moment because I'll record the rest, but early today, Mir Hashem. But I want to share with you just a short vart on the parasha. So we'll say we're stopping here a little bit mid sugya. A little bit mitsugi, but again, I will record the rest. Short idea on the